The scripture reading today is from Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces.
Greetings. My name is Nick. I'm one of the pastors here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. Welcome and thanks for joining today. Growing up, our family had a wood stove, which maybe makes me sound ancient, but we lived out in the country and that's how we heated our house. And so there was many a day when my father and brothers and I would go out and cut down a tree and split the wood and haul it home. My father was always very careful about it. He would wear all the protective equipment. He'd have the chaps and the ear protection and the visor, all that sort of thing. And he insisted that we also take precautions as we helped. All the same, there were still times I can remember when this speck of sawdust would come flying up and get stuck in my eye. And we'd have to stop everything as I tried to remove it. Of course, you don't need to have had a wood stove to have had this experience. A lot of you, I know, having worked in labor or industry, could share stories of material, bits of material getting stuck in eyes. I won't speculate on any of the specifics or go on, because my eyes tend to start watering just thinking about that. Our question for today, our good question, is the question of how we might work towards accountability and community without judging. It's a question that came from one of you, along with all the others, and came with a suggestion of a couple of texts, including this one that I've selected and we've heard read this morning. I believe that most people who participate in Christian community desire some level of accountability. We want there to be people around us who can check in on us. We want to be regularly challenged in our lives. We want to be caught if it looks like things in our lives are going off the rails. We want people who can stop everything and help us remove particles from our eyes. Because if you've ever had that experience of having something fly up and get stuck in there, like I have, you know it can be really painful. It can cause permanent damage even. It can be a distraction, limiting the work that we want to be doing or should be doing. It can obstruct our view and prevent us from seeing clearly. And because we recognize that we can't always do that on our own, we can't always see if we have something blocking our sight. I believe that most people who choose to be part of a church community want that, even if they don't want a lot of that, or even if they cringe at the thought of going through that. Most of us, on some level, want accountability within community. And yet, most of us, I think, would probably also say that there's times that we've experienced where we've experienced something like what Jesus describes here in these verses. Times when someone came along and for some reason felt it their duty to comment on or condemn the smallest aspect of your life, while their own life was marked by all these massive contradictions. If you've been there, you know it's maybe felt as fun or as fair as being handed a ticket for a minor parking violation from somebody who then goes and turns around and goes off joyriding in a stolen car without a license. Jesus, of course, uses this different illustration here. He says it's like someone coming up to you and trying to remove this speck of wood, speck of dust from your eye, and meanwhile they have a plank in theirs. The image, of course, comes from the world of woodworking, and Jesus, having been a carpenter's son, would have known that work well. What he describes here is meant to really be this ridiculous scene. Picture my father trying to brush out a piece of sawdust from my eyes while he has this full branch lodged in his. Let's stop, for goodness sake, and call you an ambulance. It's this really preposterous scenario. People would have laughed when they heard it. And yet, like so many of Jesus's teachings, it's also meant to be provocative. And I think that most of us, many of us, will intuitively get that. Because again, most of us have been there at one time or another in our lives, been on the receiving end of that. And so what, if anything, might these verses show us about what it might mean to work towards accountability and community without judging? I think it can maybe point us towards two things, maybe they're two sides of the same coin. And those are accountability without hypocrisy and accountability with humility. Starting with accountability without hypocrisy. In these verses, Jesus calls this sort of person, who makes a big fuss calling out little things in other people's lives, all the while neglecting to deal with the big things in their own lives. He calls them a hypocrite. If you spend any time reading through the Gospels, what he says here is going to sound really familiar. It's this bone that Jesus often picks with the Pharisees especially. This fixation with small and ultimately insignificant things while completely missing the big and ultimately important things about God's kingdom. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus paints a picture of this obsession with the dust in another person's eyes while missing the log in your own. Elsewhere, he confronts people and says it's like they're meticulously fishing out this tiny fly from their drink, and all the while they end up swallowing a massive camel. Or he talks about how they pull out their kitchen scales and measure the smallest spices to donate and make sure they get it right to the gram, all the while missing the God's larger points of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. It's stuck on the small things, such that you miss the big things in your own life. And I believe that it speaks to this fundamental reality about human nature and about community. And that's that it can be a lot easier to nitpick other people's minor moral flaws than to do that hard inner work of dealing with your own brokenness and sin. And so we might say that the work of accountability within Christian community, it starts with us. It starts with me. The starting point is not scrutiny of the other, but spiritual self-examination. To be clear, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't be concerned with taking out the speck of dust in another person's eyes. What he's saying is that if we're going to be doing that, if we're going to be approaching or addressing or confronting someone else, we ought to take a long, hard look at what needs correcting in our own lives first, our own hearts first. Take the plank out of your own eye, then deal with the speck in your friend's, Jesus says. The end result is that everyone gets to see clearly, but you don't get there if everyone is preoccupied with everyone else's faults and blind to and unbothered by their own. You don't get there without first coming to a place of contrition for yourself and compassion towards the other, which dovetails maybe with the second thing that Jesus is teaching here, maybe points us toward, and that's moving towards accountability with humility. Most often when we encounter these warnings about not judging in Scripture, they're paired with these reminders that we're not God. So much of the trouble we often get into in life comes from this feeling that we need to do God's work ourselves. And the reality is that we know that we can't do that. We can play an important part in that, but we can't bring people to a place of conviction. We can't presume to do the work of the Spirit in turning people's hearts towards recognition and repentance. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Romans, where he asks the Christians there, why are you judging your brothers and your sisters? Why do you treat them with contempt? Don't you know that God is judge and before whom we'll all stand? And James, in his letter, similarly writes, Who are you to judge your neighbor or your brother or your sister? Don't you remember that there's only one lawgiver and judge? There are, to be sure, plenty of places where Jesus and others talk about the need to be able to say hard things as we grow in holiness and grow in spiritual health as a community. What Jesus is talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount is not this community marked by kind of moral free-for-all, or a community where no one's able to say anything about how anyone else is living. He's instead talking about accountability without hypocrisy, and again, accountability with humility. A big part of that work, as we see it here in these verses, is acknowledging our own blind spots and our own distorted perspectives. It is, after all, this another very human tendency to think that the wrong in another person's life is so much worse than the wrong in our own. When in reality, it might very well be the other way around. I might be the one with swinging around with a 2x4 planted in my face, despite feeling like the one with a tiny grain tucked beneath my eyelid. And so we stop and we look in the mirror and we acknowledge we're in the same spiritual boat here as sinners, and we do our own inner work ourselves. Flannery O'Connor, the American writer, once wrote that the first product of self-knowledge is humility. The first product of self-knowledge is humility. You see it, there's a plank there, and you work to take it out. So what does this look like practically speaking? What does it look like to work towards non-hypocritical and humble accountability? It's maybe a bit more difficult for us to think of examples, but I bet there's been times in your lives where you've experienced this. Sometimes it's a person in a position of authority who is able to say something or come alongside you. More often for me, it's been a longtime companion who's been able to say those words in a way that I could receive them. A friend who knows me and cares about me and is going to be there and not just drop the mic after saying their thing and walk away. A friend who has pulled a good number of planks out of their own eyes over the years and knows how difficult and painful that can be, and yet how necessary and healing that can be as well. As I was thinking about this question and this text, a little book called Life Together by a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer came to mind. Bonhoeffer, you may know, is a German theologian, well known for his resistance to the Nazi regime during the Second World War. Along with a number of others, he formed this little underground seminary. And Life Together, this book that he wrote, is a reflection on that experience and a meditation on what it means to be Christian community. And a lot of what he writes there is, in that little volume, is about this question. How do we work towards accountability without it becoming this really toxic and destructive and judgmental thing? So as I close, I wanted to share just a few practical suggestions that he puts down there and that come out of this book. One is to resolve not to talk about others in secret. As Bonhoeffer lived with and led this little community, he often saw how often this happened and how destructive it was for that church. And so he told his students, the seminarians, to strive not to talk about one another behind one another's back. From what we read about him and them elsewhere, we know that this proved to be one of the most difficult things that they were asked to do. Because judgment and condemnation so often and so easily take that form. It's sometimes direct, but it's often indirect. It's something that often breeds in absence as much as it bursts out in one another's presence. Bonhoeffer describes this work of accountability as instead turning towards one another, as we turn together towards God, rather than turning away from one another or turning our backs to one another or just saying your piece and walking away. Another practical suggestion that comes out of this book is to practice confession. Bonhoeffer writes about the importance of acknowledging the wrong you've done, not only before God, but to others as well. confession in community, I think, is really another way of talking about stopping and removing the plank from your eye and then helping your friend, your companion, to take the speck out of theirs. It's a hard thing and a good thing. And so I'd encourage you to find someone who you can talk to and do that with if you don't have somebody in your life who you can do that with already. Having these practices of confession, as opposed to just participating in a culture of comments and criticism, makes space for grace to enter into our relationships. It has this leveling effect. It disarms us and transforms us. Confession moves us away from our stances of combativeness and defensiveness that we so often take. In confession, we're reminded and are able to remind one another about forgiveness in Christ. A third and last suggestion I'll share from that book is to find ways to express gratitude together. Bonhoeffer, in his book, talks at length about having time as a community when people are able to give thanks. He encourages his community to do this daily if they're able. Including finding ways of expressing thanks to God for the gifts they see in one another, saying thanks to one another. And I think this is helpful as we think about what accountability in community looks like. Because I think a lot of the time we might think of it only in terms of clear teaching or calling out people or correcting them. Hard words like those can at times be important, but I believe that encouraging ones and supportive ones are just as significant in the process of spiritual transformation and growth in relationships and community. Just as significant in Christian accountability. There's a lot more that Bonhoeffer writes about this question, this theme in his book. I'd commend it to you if you're looking to reflect further on these themes. I thought of Bonhoeffer and life together as I was preparing for this, because it sets out this vision for Christian community during a time of international crisis, which is what we're living with today. Even if it doesn't always feel like that, this is a truly significant time in history. Like his underground community, we're living in this time of profound upheaval and uncertainty and anxiety. We're seeing culture wars and political divisions come really to a fever pitch in a lot of ways. We're seeing family conflict and family loss. We're living in this time full of enormous pressure and exhaustion and stress. It can be easy to fall into this pattern that Jesus describes here of judging on any day, but perhaps especially during days like these. Which is why Bonhoeffer at that time felt it so important to write about it. Most of us, again, come to Christian community because we want some level of accountability. Because we know that we can't do these things on our own. We need others who are there with us, who share these commitments and can help us as we hold them. And I think so many of us remain in community because we value that. I can tell you I was grateful to have my father nearby in those times when I got a piece of wood stuck in my eye. Glad to have not been alone and to have someone with me who could set down the chainsaw and the axe and come beside me and help me get it out. The invitation that Jesus shares here is not to abandon that work, but to strive to do it without hypocrisy and with humility. To approach one another first not with condemnation, but with a spirit of contrition and compassion. First removing the planks in our own eyes before turning towards others. I would invite you to pray with me now. You'll find these words, this prayer I've selected in the order of service if you wish to follow along. God, may we go on into our days now and live as one body in Christ. May we be at peace and care for one another. May we suffer with one another and rejoice with one another. May we give attention to your word, God, and proclaim the good news of freedom to all. And God, may you delight in our hearts and sharpen our vision. May your Son, Christ Jesus, keep us, thoughts and word in his grace. And may your Holy Spirit be the foundation that sustains us all and binds us together as one. Amen.